Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yankee Nation podcast presented by Wegman Enterprises, NYC Sports Nation. I'm Austin Verhill, along with Tim LaDuke and Nick Giovanelli. Today, we're going to have an interesting Austin's movie review. We have some things to talk about Aaron Judge, and we have some news about the proposal to bring baseball back. So without further ado, how about it?
You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production. Enhancing your New York sports fan experience.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk.
You know, we're going to start with Austin's movie review. And
yeah, baby, this movie was nuts.
It's funny how this segment has evolved. It started off as like basically a joke that I haven't seen any movies. So initially it was going to be just me watching them and like watching movies that I should have definitely already have seen, like Goodfellas. Since then it has transformed into each of us picking a movie in a revolving order.
And it's your turn.
And we all
after this one.
And here's the thing. I have seen a lot of bad movies in my day. I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I've seen a lot of bad movies in my day. I brought up The Family before on this podcast, and that was far and away the worst movie I've ever seen. This is the worst movie I've ever seen.
this movie was bad.
We watched Undrafted. So bad. First of all, there's so many problems with this. First of all, the whole movie is a one game, which, I mean, I guess isn't a problem, but it's a weird structure.
I thought that was cool that there was no gaps in time. That was my only credit.
I like the ump. The ump was kind of funny, and he was the only one I recognized.
I didn't recognize him. So the whole story is that there's a guy on, like, this independent league team. It's confusing what their league is because they were in college.
I thought it was like a,
but
it's intramural. It's a summer intramural league.
It's a summer. Okay. The one thing I liked is their shout out to Stack. That's literally right here. So I was like, hey,
yeah,
that's
like
pretty
Long
cool.
Island,
I have,
right?
No, it's not Long Island. It's in
Long Island though.
Yeah,
they were
in Long
they
Island.
Were, but Stack isn't in Long Island.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying they were in Long Island.
Yeah, so they were... I mean, I have so many friends that go there, so that was kind of cool. But other than that, there's nothing good about this movie. I mean, so the story is that there is a guy on the team who is really, really good, and everyone else is kind of bad. Like, there's...
Kinda?
Yeah, they're all really bad, but he's really, really good. Except
the
for that
DH. The pitcher wasn't bad.
The pitcher wasn't
bad.
And
then the British guy was good, but he drank it all away. And then the Mexican kid, or the Hispanic kid, I should say. I don't know what he is. He was mad good, too, but they said he threw it all away. And
yeah,
then
but
there was
at
like
the
a,
time, they weren't
the
good.
The former pro.
Yeah, so here's the issue with it is they're playing a team that has all, like, drafted guys. They did
for
it
no
in,
reason.
They did it in a
one of them is
way.
Like a double A closer or something
yeah.
for the Phillies.
Yeah. So, they have a team of all drafted guys, and they're winning into the last inning. Like, it's not even a comeback story. It's a story of they're somehow. And the whole time they're acting like they're playing the worst games of their life, and they're winning.
And also they're doing five
softball
star
chance, man.
Yeah, that was weird. No five star recruit would do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they
like
all
the,
did it.
The draft, like that stuff we did in Little League.
Yeah.
And they're all drafted. They're for some reason losing to a team that has one good player.
They were winning the whole time. 2-0 until like the bottom of the ninth.
But Austin, I'm with you. I thought they were winning until the last inning.
No, it kept saying that they were up 1-0. Did it not?
No, it didn't. No, because they came back in the ninth.
Yeah, drafted team was all winning until the last inning.
Oh, okay, whatever. But
no, but also still, they weren't showing that right.
Weren't showing that right. But also, why were they only winning by two or by one?
Yeah, like what?
They were all drafted.
They were barely beating a team who had a closer pitching nine innings.
I only liked one character in this movie. Can you guys guess who it is?
The coach.
No.
The kid who struck out on purpose.
No, it's Garvey. Garvey is the only thing good in this movie.
Wait, which one was Garvey?
Garvey did strike out on purpose.
No, Garvey was the catcher. Garvey was the guy who kept acting like the coach. Yeah.
Who got absolutely rocked for no reason.
That was the so there was a brawl, right? And then
even the right term.
It took way too long. That scene.
And also some kid on the other team pulled a bat out and like was gonna murder someone with a bat.
He just goes,
The dad was like, "Nah, bro, no."
He just goes, "Hey, drop it." And then he's like, "Okay." And then he just dropped it.
You got it, boss.
Like,
I can't believe he was even thinking of murdering someone.
But why was it that quick to convince him to drop it?
Exactly.
And then they arrest the two guys. They
the coach and then the one guy who's saying a league of their own.
Yeah, so they
for no reason either.
They handcuff those two, and then at the end of the movie, when they win, they just let them go.
Well, my problem is you arrest two people, and then you let them play the game. Still,
but you keep them in the car for the duration of the game.
Yeah. And they let them play the game because the kids that were winning was like, "Duh, we want to keep playing. We're winning. Come on, guys."
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. During the brawl, I checked out a bit because my friend sent me a tweet, and it said name. It said like if I was to take a girl on a date to Taco Bell when I got home, I would text her, "I had a Baja Blast tonight." So then I got inspiration from that and started writing puns about restaurants while this movie was playing in the background because I couldn't take it.
That's completely understandable because of how bad this movie is.
You know what? You want to know my favorite pun that I came up with? I wrote Popeyes, more like my eyes pop whenever I see you.
All right, that was worse than the movie.
Are you going to cut that one out? Wait,
no, absolutely not. Oh, here's another one. I got another one.
Austin, don't do this.
Wait. tell me the restaurant.
Wendy's.
Let's see if I can guess it.
Wendy's.
Nah, I got nothing. Go.
When did you become so pretty?
Oh, I thought you were going to do something with like the 4 for 4 or something.
No, dude. That was what I was doing during this brawl, or whatever you want to call it. Dude, it was...
Like, I guess you didn't spend that much time making the puns. They're not that good.
Ouch. She liked them.
You only told me two. Maybe you had better ones.
No, the other one was worse.
Oh. Never mind. I doubt that they're worse than this movie, though. My goodness.
Nothing can be worse than this movie. And, Nick, I'm so glad you're not yelling at me. Being like,
bro, this movie was terrible.
Being like, you just don't so like bad. It because I picked it. I told you that this was gonna be.
Oh yeah, that's fine. If you think it's gonna be bad, that's fine. But watch it first. And you did, and you agree.
Tim just wrote the best thing in the group chat.
No, don't read it. My dad listens to this.
Okay, I won't read it. But Nick. Read it. But I remember last episode. I remember last episode you guys were hinting at this movie, and you said that there was a part that made you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I want to know what part you were talking about.
When Patrick struck out, and then he literally almost murdered the entire team. He was, like, having a complete mental breakdown in center field. And it went on for, like, 15 minutes.
That was
another thing. He was screaming.
That went on way, there's some parts of this movie that went on way too long.
The speech in the dugout.
That, oh,
I
thank
checked
you.
Out.
I was just about to bring that up. That's definitely the worst part of the movie, and that's the most part of the movie.
It took
Why is it
so long?
It was nuts.
That speech was like 6 whole minutes.
Also, I have it paused at the end of the movie on my TV right now. And at the very end, it wrote John Mazzello, who I guess it was based off of, was never drafted. He is currently a teacher at a Catholic school in Long Island where he coaches both baseball and the basketball team. Now, let me tell you something. Is someone who never got drafted and then never made it to pro ball worthy of a movie?
I think it was a good idea. There was something. The movie. But it just was not done well.
But, like, he never made it. He never even got close. He didn't even play for an independent league. He's just a teacher at a Catholic school.
How can I not word this? Oh, he's the brother of an actor. And I think that's how he got a movie made about him. I could be completely wrong.
Now,
but
apparently, Tony Romo was one of the producers, and he liked this because he was undrafted. This movie was about as good as Tony Romo was in the playoffs. This is a bad movie.
I don't know a lot about football, but I know Tony Romo was not clutch.
This movie sucked. I hated every second of it.
I didn't know why any of the guys wanted to even play. Like, they all hated playing for that team. Like, why were they showing up?
Yeah, I don't know. They all seemed like they hated baseball, except for Maz and the coach. And
how many of them were going to show up late?
And like three of them, right?
Like,
but like,
they all
30 minutes apart.
But they all showed up late, and then the other team shows up way later.
In a bus.
And then another guy shows up late after the other team gets here.
Yeah, that was the guy who was who struck out at the end. They end up winning, but does anyone really care?
No.
I mean, it's such a bad movie.
The whole premise of the movie was to make Maz fall in love with baseball like 5 minutes after he doesn't go drafted. Like, dude, I'm sorry, I don't care. As much as I love it, I don't care.
You know what was the weirdest part of the movie for me? Where I was actually laughing? The very end before Maz's last at-bat, there was like this weird montage of him throughout childhood. And there's something about montages when it's a bad movie that's my favorite thing. I'll give you an example. Have either of you guys ever seen the Emoji Movie?
No.
So I did not
want to do that to myself.
I saw the early release in theaters because I was so excited.
Big emoji guy.
Big emoji guy. And there's it's such a bad movie, and at the very end there's a montage of like the movie previous to that. Did I lose you guys? The movie previous to that point. And let me tell you something. When you don't care about the movie previous and then they show it in slow motion with music over it, it's hilarious.
The montage in Undrafted, it was just so unnecessary.
And again, so long.
Yeah, it was like, okay. Yeah. The part that got me was like when he took his books off of his shelf, he starts just putting trophies on. Like, dude.
I like the Derek Jeter
shout
out.
There's yeah, that was there. Nice.
But Derek Jeter, his name is now tainted.
Okay, no, it's not. You know what? Let's just never associate him with the movie.
For being in this movie, everyone should watch it.
Just to see how bad it is.
I have a few big problems with it.
Lay them on me.
As we all do.
First, there was one black person in it. And he was the field ump, and he didn't even have a line.
Well, he said out, or no, he said save.
Okay,
where,
he had
when?
One word.
At first base. He said
oh, okay.
He said save. for
the fact that he only had one word doesn't make it much better.
And then there's only one. Then when they were setting up the rules, like, why is the semifinal ump? Why is this the first game he's ever seen? He's like, what are the rules? And then he goes, he says very sternly in like a very foreshadowing way, he's like, and if there's any collisions, the game will be forfeited.
No,
I'm like,
didn't,
okay.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
He said the player will be ejected.
No, he said the game will be forfeited.
He did not say that.
I guarantee he did.
I am rewinding.
Wait because a second.
I'm like, oh, well, I know exactly what's going to happen now. They're going to be losing, and there's going to be a collision, and then they win. And then that happens. The police come. People get arrested, and they still keep playing.
The whole thing.
I don't know. Why did the catcher? Why did he run over the catcher so bad? Like, and why did he do that?
And not only that, he rounded it after the catcher already had the ball.
And he crushed him.
He rounded the base after the okay, here, I found the... Hold on. I'm listening to it live.
Although we have the movie in the background now.
I'm pretty sure he says forfeit. Great radio.
Speaking of lack of interest... I predicted it, and you guys were like, no, you're saying this just because I chose it. No, this was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
It was a terrible movie.
Okay, so it's showing up. Hold on.
That part I actually thought was kind of funny.
But why was it too many letters? Why was it too... He goes, why not just Diamondbacks? Because it's too many letters. Then pick a different team!
His accent was also terrible.
Here it is. That's it. He says it resulted in immediate ejection.
Damn.
But, like, right, he didn't get immediately ejected. He got ejected after two players got arrested.
And why didn't he get arrested?
He started the whole thing.
And why didn't the guy who picked up the bat get arrested?
Well, he never used it.
So?
It is a bad movie. You know, I just, there's no other way to put it. Everyone go watch it. Okay, now, in terms of the rating system, a zero, literally a zero. I this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
I gave it 1.5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes because I was a little bit entertained.
I don't think there's a part in this. There wasn't a part in this movie where I genuinely laughed.
I laughed at when the guy struck on a purpose and they all went hype. That was pretty funny.
I'll give it 1.6.
What gives it the 0.6?
Just.
What are your redeeming qualities about this movie? Do you have, like.
It was a little funny. Because it was so bad, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, this was just... I agree. It was a horrible movie. There wasn't anything for me.
Do you have your movie pick, or are we waiting for that at the end?
I do not have a movie pick yet. I want to cleanse us, so I want to make sure I pick a good one. But
yeah,
also one
we need a much better one.
But also one I haven't seen yet. So I would love, like... When are they going to put Black Widow on Disney Plus? Are they going to do that like they did with Onward?
Probably.
I hope so. I really want to see that. We could watch the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse if you guys want. I'm currently scrolling through Disney Plus looking at things. Have either of you guys seen Tron?
Yeah.
What the hell is it?
I think I have like once.
Not worth it.
I didn't think so.
Good soundtrack.
I feel like it's all like Skrillex.
No, there's like some throwback music in there.
Is there? All right. Well, I'll figure out a movie. But well, let's move on from that. We have a few things, a few mentions of Aaron Judge. I'm going to start with CeCe Sabathia, bringing up how he could see either Judge or Glaber becoming the next captain.
And CeCe spitting some facts right there.
We brought both of these guys up. We always mention them together. Because I always say Judge is going to be the more liked and, you know, like more synonymous with the Yankees. But I think Glaber will be the better player. Tim thinks Glaber is going to be both. And then I think, Nick, your opinion was that Judge was going to be both.
I think I said Judge is going to be the better player and Glaber will be the face.
Really?
But I can also see Judge being both.
Yeah.
Either way, they're both amazing and they're both the faces of the Yankees, so thank God.
So, question, who do you want to see be the captain?
Judge.
Glaber, that'd be dope.
I also want to see Judge be captain. I think I just see it better with him. I mean, obviously, I'm not in the clubhouse, so I don't know. But I just see it better with, I just see it better with Judge.
I just think he carries himself so well. And, like, so many people hate him for no reason. How do you hate Aaron Judge?
He's a Yankee, man.
I know, but that's like the only reason. If he plays anywhere else, people love him. It really is a shame. The man's nuts.
I don't know why anyone would hate Judge. Was there a player that like everyone else seemed to hate on an opposing team that you didn't hate that much?
Alex Bregman, until recently.
For me, David Ortiz.
Same, yeah.
I never hated him that much.
I always hated him. Yo, 2003, PED test.
I mean, I was four.
So, no, but like, it doesn't matter. He tested positive and no one talks about it.
No, I bring that up all the time. It bugs me that he's going to get in no problem. And people like A-Rod or Bonds or Clemens may not ever get in.
Good, they cheated.
But okay. Ortiz is going to get in.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, I don't know, I have a problem with that.
Me too.
Euculus, though. I never
main man
hated him when he came to the Yankees. I was thoroughly confused.
Yankee legend Kevin Euculus, baby.
I was like, bro, I don't know what to do with you. Why did we even sign him? We weren't competing.
That's why.
Yeah, but like, if we're not competing, and obviously Euculus isn't going to improve our team that much at that point in his career. Can we just get someone different? Did he have no other offers? Why did he pick the Yankees?
Now I'm going to Google it. I want to see why Kevin Euculus joined the Yankees.
I don't get it. And then, the next year, he's in free agency. And he goes, I want to sign with the team in the West Coast to stay closer to my family. And I was like, okay, I guess he's not going to the Yankees. And then he signs with Japan. I was like, bro, that's
kind of close. That's on the, it's close to the West Coast.
if you think so.
I'm like, bro, instead of going over states, you're going over an ocean.
Biggest one in the world.
And why was his house on the West Coast? He played for Boston, and then he played for Chicago.
Maybe his family, like his family, mom and dad.
I guess.
I can't find anything on why he signed with the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't. I assume
we paid him $12 million for a year.
Was that how big that was? And then he was injured most of it.
1 year, $12 million, man.
To play minuscule baseball poorly in a place where you're hated.
And in that same week, they signed Ichiro, apparently. Or they were finalizing the deal.
Well, that was a phenomenal...
Euclid was not the Yankees' first choice at third. Going into the winter meetings, the Yankees hoped to sign a platoon of Jeff Kepinger, and Eric Chavez. Instead, Kepinger inked a 3-year deal with the White Sox, and Chavez took $3 million on a 1-year contract with the Diamondbacks.
Well, we had Chavez for a little bit, so I guess we wanted to re-sign him. Yeah, I don't know.
And this was an ESPN article from Andrew Marchand in 2012, December.
That was a bad time.
Those are the dark years.
That was a bad time in Yankees baseball.
Never saw a losing season, though.
No.
Somehow.
Imagine how... I don't even know what that feeling would be like.
And with the team we have now, we might not for a while, baby.
So,
let's go.
I'll consider it a losing season if we don't have one.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's different.
In a different way.
That's a different losing season. That's literally losing a season.
Now, we'll come back to the judge with the other thing, but it's a good way to segue with what Tim just said. In the proposed MLB protocols, there's a bunch of rules. So, everything I'm listing right now, you're not going to be allowed to do. You're not allowed to spit, chew seeds, because obviously spitting, tobacco, licking fingers, fighting, which you're not allowed to do anyway, hitting inside, meeting inside, bat boys. That one hurts.
Can't have any bat boys.
That one shot. But they could get over that. High fives. Fist bumps.
Fraternizing?
Fraternizing? I guess that's...
It's fraternizing. What
does that mean?
I guess it's like socializing.
Hanging out and talking.
Hanging out and talking.
You're not allowed to throw the ball around the infield after a strikeout or an out.
No showers. No sauna, no hydrotherapy.
In the stadium, at least with that one.
No Uber.
No ride-sharing apps.
No Uber, subway, or leaving the hotel. What does that mean?
On the road.
Oh, so like if you're on the road, you're not allowed to leave the hotel?
Nope.
You can't go to a restaurant. You go straight back to the hotel.
Wow. Okay.
So my question is, how do you enforce this, and also how lenient are they going to be? Because the KBO is not listening to this at all.
So one thing is John Heyman starred the ones that coaches and players said would be the toughest for the coaches and players. So the toughest ones are licking the fingers, I guess, for pitchers, hitting inside. High fives and hydrotherapy
and leaving the hotel
I could understand leaving the hotel. Hydrotherapy, it's like those ice baths is hydrotherapy, I think.
Yeah, fielders are encouraged to retreat several steps away from the base runner.
So what happens when someone's
sliding into second?
Between pitches, it says, I guess. First and third base coaches cannot approach base runners or umpires.
So it seems they're just going to be yelling and screaming from the dugout.
If Stanton hits a home run, is Phil Nevin going to give him the football? Like, what's going to happen?
Oh, no.
Pitchers have to rub down their own balls during bullpen sessions.
The
temperature tests before you leave and when you get there and when you leave the stadium.
And I think regular tests also.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be regular testing.
Isn't the testing center in, like, Utah?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to enforce it, but the
players and other team personnel not participating in the game have to sit in the stands.
That's kind of cool. I actually like that.
So this weekend the German soccer league, the Bundesliga, started up again with no fans, and all of the subs that would have been on the bench were all 6 feet apart in the stands.
Were they cheering and stuff?
They were looking on. They didn't really show them much. But I thought that was interesting.
It's a cool. It's a nice decision.
What if it's raining? That sucks.
Well, I mean, if it's raining, they're gonna get rained on anyway. Well, I guess the bullpen, but they'll go like under the deck or something.
Oh, true. But what if you're called to pinch hit and you're sitting in the bleachers?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't go that far away.
You better run out there.
Yeah, so.
So, very interesting.
Well, what do you guys think? This is definitely appropriate, but.
100%.
It's appropriate.
Is it a little
baseball.
Overkill for the players, you think? Like, what? They said they wanted strict safety measures, but is this kind of.
But, I mean, if they're tested, why can't they, like, high five? I mean, they're wearing batting gloves.
Not everyone. True. Most players, yeah.
The high
I'd
fives,
like to see this be enforced because I don't see it like.
The high fives and fist bumps is going to be the hardest thing to enforce. Like the socialization in the dugout is going to be very hard to enforce.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Well, there's only 9 people in the dugout, 10 people in the dugout.
Well, you're hitting a pitching coach. Where would they be?
Okay, so there's like 15 people in the dugout.
Yeah. Hitting, pitching, bench, manager, and then your
DH and 9 players.
Pitcher, yeah. So, I do really like the fact that we're going to get universal DH through this. But that's if they even agree on it, because they still haven't agreed on it.
Yeah, this actually made me less confident baseball happens.
I don't think the protocols are the issues that players are having.
I know, but I think this might be.
Yeah, I think this might just add on to what they're unhappy about.
No, I think
this
kind of
seems like they've
shown this. I would think the issue's the money.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't this part of the proposal?
They haven't even talked about money yet.
It's gonna be
Did you see that if they don't do revenue sharing, then players are getting 89% of the profits this year?
It's a lot of money.
Because each team's losing, like, a ton.
Isn't it losing, like, $640,000 per game for a team?
Yeah.
With no fans?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So essentially. We're going to be asking the owners to be putting this on as charity this year for us.
I mean, as a fan, I'm down.
They have made more profit than they ever have these last few years.
Fun fact.
Scott Boras was saying teams that were bought for like a couple $100,000 are now, like the Braves were bought for, I think, $125 million. I misspoke earlier. Braves were bought for $125 million, and now they're worth like over $1.5 billion. And I think it took like 15 years.
So
the A's, same thing.
I found, it's something completely off topic. I found what I think is my new Yogi Berra, my new favorite Yogi Berra quote, if I could ever spit that out. he said, "You better cut the pizza in 4 pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat 6." I'll move on. Nick, what were you going to say? I just love that quote.
With the $640,000, teams are losing $52,480,000 with an 82-game no-fan season. That's nuts. That's all I had to say, really. It's just a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much asking the owners to do charity for us this 1 year and get back to business next year.
Yeah. So next year, prices are probably going to be up.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Even more than $50 on average?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go to a Mets game with my friends for about $5, so I don't think that's going to change.
That sucks for the season ticket holders, though, who paid $50 for it, and now they're selling them for 5 beans. Talk about pennies on the dollar, Marcus Shiro.
Well, I mean, it happens every year.
Yeah.
$5
Yeah, I spent game. $5 at a Mets game before.
It was for the food.
Okay, everyone talks about how expensive food is at Yankee Stadium.
City Field food.
It's
I don't think it's that bad. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. No, but it's expensive, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Their hot dogs are so expensive. I had like one hot dog. I think it was like $11.
See, I will be
wait,
honest.
Wait, what?
I silently judge people who buy stadium food.
Well, I have to eat.
With any regularity.
I have to eat, dude. And here's my thing, is I'm hungry about every 2 hours. So, I'm constantly eating. And I can't go through a baseball game without eating something.
All right, that's a little different than the people who I feel like are buying the food as like a form of entertainment.
Well, I'm not buying, like, I will buy a cotton candy because I love cotton candy. But, like, I'm usually buying the chicken and fries.
The chicken bucket.
The grub tub. Big fan of the grub tub.
So I know, you got to try it once, man.
Yeah, I don't know what you're on about.
Just once.
How have you not tried it?
So good.
Because I've already doled out so much money to be there.
People, I think, over... Is someone playing with their mic? People are like... I think they overestimate how much it costs to go to a Yankee game. Because one time, I was at a Yankee game, and I was sitting legit, like, front row. Granted, it was right field against the wall, like in like by the foul line, but still front row, like I could touch the pad that's on the wall, and I spent $70 for that seat.
Yeah, I mean they're still pretty expensive everywhere else.
Depending on who you're playing. I mean, I've gone to Orioles games where I spent $20. To sit in the bleachers, creatures.
I only sit in the bleachers.
Because that's the best. That's the best value. It's a wonderful view, and that's where the best fans are.
That's the only place I sit, because it's like $15 to $30, and I'm chilling. I will sit anywhere for a Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people won't sit in the bleachers more often. It's metal.
Do you buy those in the normal place that you buy other tickets?
I buy I only buy baseball tickets on StubHub or GameTime.
I do StubHub.
I'll check both and then whatever is best. But my favorite, the thing I miss the most, is waking up, going to work, and then on my lunch break being like, I wonder what Yankee ticket prices are today, and then buying a ticket for the game that night. I love spontaneous going to games that you didn't plan on going to when you woke up.
I just miss watching baseball.
My ultimate example of that was Game 5 of the ALCS last year.
I was just looking at that scorecard.
I went to work, I came home, and I was on Twitter, and someone goes, ticket prices for tonight are extremely low. And then I spent $80 to sit main level at an ALCS game. I was right behind that foul pole that Aaron Hicks hit.
The thing with me, though, like, going to a Yankee game involves either having someone to stay at their house, driving or taking a train 5 hours, then taking a train into the city, spending the day in the city because you're in New York City for the only time that year, going out to dinner somewhere, taking a train back, and then you gotta get home too the next day, 5 hours, 5 hours away. And if you bring your girlfriend, well, we split it. We split the tickets. We bought our own because they're so expensive. But going with my cousin, it's more than just a ticket affair.
Yeah. Well, whenever it comes back, I mean, you plan on coming for the Subway Series. We're going to have a blast.
Hey, man, if we get regional baseball this year. Oh, wait, no, there's no fans. Never mind.
No, but
yeah, right. We were gonna play the Mets a ton this year.
Yeah, we planned on, what was it? It was gonna be me, you guys, and Tyler Boyce, and I was so excited. I mean, we were gonna go to the aquarium in the city.
That was gonna be baller.
Yeah, it would have been so sick. It's gonna happen though. It'll just be next year.
Yeah.
So. I cannot wait for that, but I'm trying to find if there's any more updates on anything, but I haven't seen anything.
No, they might have taken the weekend off.
Boris,
like negotiations.
7 minutes ago, Boris said, economic crisis won't impact Chris Bryant's free agency. Yes, it will.
Yeah, I heard him talking about that. Yeah,
it will.
And without a chance to do any proving, you know, well, all year off.
Wasn't his last year pretty pedestrian?
He's been getting injured. He's been getting hit in the face and stuff. It sucks.
A lot of unlucky injuries.
Yeah.
Unlucky injuries. Word to Aaron Judge. Thank you, Jacob Junis.
Oh, by the way, I have to bring up a take that Tim had a little while ago that really bugged me. It was Tony Gwynn's birthday. And Tim was...
Yeah, I'm not... we'll bring this up. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Tim was getting annoyed at how much he was seeing Tony Gwynn on his timeline.
I see Tony Gwynn all the time on my timeline, too, and it's all about how he's the best player of all time because he had a batting average. But his on-base percentage was lower than...
No one's saying he's the best player of all time.
I follow annoying people on Twitter, I guess, because, like, okay, whose birthday was... It was just Yogi Berra's. I saw one tweet, but they thought...
Hold on.
Talk about Tony Gwynn.
Goodness, you are breaking up.
Oh, wow.
It sounded
people
like
people that I follow talk about Tony Gwynn like he's a god.
Well, he's a very good player that you can't talk about baseball history without bringing up his name.
Yes, you can.
No, you cannot.
I'm so uninspired by Tony Gwynn.
This is such a bad take.
Dude, his on-base percentage was .388.
Okay.
He didn't walk because he got hit.
Exactly.
What's DJ LeMahieu's?
What?
He does the same thing. He gets hits and doesn't walk.
Dude, Tony Gwynn is such a freaking legend. Like, his era, when he was playing, he's one of the faces of those years that he was playing.
Yeah, but he's boring to me.
How? The dude has over 3,000 hits.
But, like, why?
Over 1,100 RBIs.
Guy got on base as much as Joe Mauer. Next.
He was... What do you think his Hall of Fame vote was?
Like 99.2.
It was 97.6. The only one
99.3 was Griffey.
The only ones higher than him, I believe, are Griffey, Jeter, and Mo. I mean, what do you need?
Well, I mean,
no, you guys are looking.
Oh wow! Sorry, you're just breaking up for me. But like, you can't make someone appreciate how good they were. Well, it's not so much that you're not appreciating it; you're just uninspired by it. You can't make someone inspired by a player just because some people voted for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
True. Okay.
My guys don't follow the people I follow, I guess, because like. The people I follow think Tony Gwynn is the best, like, player.
And I don't...
I never saw that.
You're talking about his batting average. He led the league at one point.
Oh, a lot.
So, I mean, I don't think it was just
eight
him.
Times.
I think that era of his, like, of baseball, there was low on-base percentages.
When did he play? He played with Barry Bonds.
He had an OPS of 1.022 at one point. That was in 94.
I mean, there's a lot better than that now.
He's never
I will give one more qualifier.
He's never had an OPS plus under 107 and under 105, and when he hit a 105 OPS plus, that was his second year in the league.
I will do one more thing. All of these people are people who hate new stats.
Oh, that.
Well, true.
So that's why I'm annoyed, because they're using Tony Gwynn as, like, this is the prime of baseball. This is what we should be doing. Everyone should be batting 372 with a 400 slugging percentage. Strikeouts, blah, blah, blah. This guy never struck out more than three times in a row, and... Giancarlo Stanton does it every single time. Okay.
I think those stats are interesting. Like, I saw one that was like Fernando Tatis Jr. has more multi-strikeout games now than Tony Gwynn ever had. Like, I think that's cool. But I don't think it determines that Tony Gwynn is the best of all time.
Yeah.
He could be the best batting average player of all time. Like, that's that maybe.
Oh my gosh. Looking at his strikeout numbers are insane.
That's like Joe DiMaggio type stuff.
In 1994, he had 19 strikeouts.
He was going to bat 400 that year.
The next year, he had 15.
If there wasn't a strike.
Like, what is this?
He's a good hitter.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not a good hitter, but...
Yeah.
I have oversaturated... Right to... I am oversaturated with Tony Gwynn stats. There's enough. You can say he shouldn't strike out much a lot of different ways, apparently.
Imagine hitting practically 400.
For four straight years.
Jesus Christ.
Now I want to look at Ted Williams.
394.
On base percentage leader.
394, 368, 353, 372.
What was Tony?
I cannot believe
Ted
Williams has a higher on base percentage than Barry Bonds.
He hit under 300 once, and he hit, and it was 298, and it was his rookie year.
What if Ted Williams didn't go to war for three years?
Ted Williams hit 500 in 1947.
He hit 500? Hold on, I gotta look at
that. I was looking at his on base percentage.
Yeah, I was like, I thought he only did four at one point.
His highest was .407. Yeah. And that wasn't even the best in the league.
Who was
that? He wasn't registered. He only had 37 games.
37 games, yeah.
His highest ever was .406 in 1941.
I mean,
my God, dude.
You guys want to see a baseball reference page that you don't look at much, but you should?
Lay the name on us.
Go to Stan Musial. The whole thing's just black ink.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Jeez.
There's one year here where...
1946. Wow.
I mean, he leads in games played, plate appearances, at-bats, runs, hits, doubles, triples, batting average, slugging, OPS, OPS plus. What's TB?
Total bases.
I mean... And that...
Then Stan Musial's stupid good.
Then the next year, he didn't black ink in anything. And then the year after that, it was runs, hits, doubles, triples, RBIs.
And he serves a year in the military.
Batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, and total bases.
You could say his best year was the year after the military.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Wait a second. In 1959, 60, 61, 62.
Why isn't this guy talked about more?
It says two.
I don't know why we don't talk about him much.
Why is he listed as an all-star twice for 4 years?
He is listed as an all-star twice.
That's a good call. There might have been two all-star games.
He won
August 3rd.
MVP three times. And he's been in contention. And he was in contention, like, voting for it every year except 2 years. And one of the years he didn't play because of military service.
I knew Stan Musial was good.
And
man,
the other year was his first year ever, where he played 12 games.
Nick, that was a great observation.
With the two All-Stars?
Yeah, they did that from 59 to 62.
Was that like a first half and a second half?
It was July 2nd and August 3rd.
And oh, they're so close together.
Listen. There was two simple and obvious reasons to play two All-Star games, money.
Well, then why did they stop? They didn't start losing money.
The public at large finding a second All-Star attraction something of an anticlimax, like playing a second World Series in Brazil.
True. They play. Wait, that didn't happen, did it?
No.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's a weird comparison. Wait, before you, I want to list something here. So, 1941, he had 12 games. Then this is his MVP voting status after that. 42, he came in 12th place. The next year, he won it. Then he came in 4th place. The year after that, 45, he didn't play because of military service. Comes back, he wins the MVP. Next year, he comes 20th in MVP voting. The year after that, he wins it. Then he comes in second. The year after that, second. And the year after that, second. The year after that, fifth. Then eighth. Then sixth. Then eighth. Then ninth. Then second. Then 12th. Then he didn't get voting. The 16th. Didn't get voting. The 10th. And then his final year, he didn't get it. I mean, my Lord.
The year he came in fifth, he had 7.5 WAR, which was the third most. Why did he get... Oh, let's see.
Yeah, I mean, Stan Musial is insane. All these years, by the way, one team.
Stan the man.
I knew he was good, but, like, dude, he's so good.
I didn't realize he was this good. 317 out of 340 votes he got.
How do you not vote for this guy? I'm pretty sure he wasn't even a... Like, he was a nice guy, too. Played for one team for his whole career. Served in the military. Like, what do you want out of this guy?
I don't know. He played until he was 42. And he, and in his final game ever, he went 2-for-3 with an RBI.
A 984 fielding percentage in the outfield.
In his first game ever, he went 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. I mean,
you know, pretty good. You know, not bad. Jeez.
He played from 41 until 63. That's not a short amount of time.
No.
3 World Series. 2-time Player of the Year, 24-time All-Star, and 7 batting titles. My gosh.
He's got more All-Star games than years played.
That's awesome. I think Willie Mays does too.
I'll check him out right now. Let's see.
He was just short of 500 home runs. He was 25 short. Finished with over 3,600 hits. 128.3 WAR.
Oof.
I mean, this dude has the old stats. This dude's got the new stats.
Willie Mays has the same. He's got 24 All-Star games in 22 years. With 156.2 WAR.
Jesus. I mean, they... Imagine
just
watching...
Like, it's like domination. Just complete domination.
I mean, I don't know what to say. All right. While thinking of, I'm trying to think of a movie to watch. I'm trying to find one because I can't. I think it'd be funny to watch Kazam, but I'm afraid it'd be bad. Either of you guys watched Kazam?
No, I have not.
No.
That's the one with Shaq when he's the genie.
It sounds funny.
You know what? I'm going to go with the classic. We're going to watch Space Jam. I have never seen it. And I know that LeBron's making one. So, I want to make sure that I see the first one before that one comes out. And I think it's a good... from what I hear, it's a good movie. So, we're going to watch Space Jam. It's on Netflix. So, I mean, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. And go Yankees.
Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn. Sorry to chirp you, buddy.
Garrett Cole is a New York Yankee.
Elevator going up. In the gleaming corridor of the 51st floor. The money can be made if you really want some more. Executive decision, a clinical precision. Jumping from the windows filled with indecision. I get good advice from the advertising world.